I want to preach a sermon, the second in a series called Washing in the Pool of Siloam 2. We preached this message a couple of weeks ago. I just wanted to say to Tyler and Lindsay, thanks for doing what you did. Tom for the ministry. Dion and Tom for the ministries on Wednesday nights. How many of you enjoyed Wednesday nights in the past little while? It was sweet, those, weren't they? Praise God. I really enjoyed them. Thanks we watched the sermons. It was very cool because last week I was watching, and Russell got up and spoke about the men's thing, and it was a way different time zone. But and I was watching, and I said, hey, I want to be there. So I texted Russell as he was up on stage. Okay, count me in. Like, what? It's very cool. Thanks to the media team. I like this live streaming thing. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about this concept of washing in the pool of Siloam, which allegorically means to me, and when you have a perspective that is an apostolic one, it changes everything about your lifestyle. John 9, go, he said to the man, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And the man washed and came home seeing that there is a bathing in the pool of sent, the sent one, that opens up our eyes and our ears. It is my perspective that many, many times in life, it's easy to fall into a shepherding, a love, a comfort mode in a church. That's the preferred one because it requires less of me. But an apostolic edge to a church requires that we go, that there is something more than just caring for one another, which is imperative. It is our chief value as a church. Love is the primary value of the church. It's the one that I stand by, love. Jesus said, by this one thing, they'll know that you're Christians. The real test of authenticity of a church is how people love one another, how they genuinely care for one another. Is there rich community among us? And if there is, then that's what Jesus was talking about. So I'm not downplaying that at all. But I do want to say that when you have an apostolic edge to a church, the apostolo comes from the word to send, the sent ones, one who are under a mandate from God to go and do what he's called us to do, that when you live in that, it changes the way you see things. It directs the course of your life. You begin to understand, I'm not my own, I was bought at a price. Right. If Michelle and I had not had an apostolic understanding, we would have stopped two churches back and camped and been the senior leaders of a mega church. We would have stayed because that was the most comfortable and the most advantageous to us personally. But when you begin to say, Lord, what is it you want us to do? And he starts to call you out and you start to go where he sends. He leads you on an adventure that may not be the heralded by other people who don't understand this pool of Siloam washing. They go, why are you going? Stay here. There's a grand inheritance for you. What are you doing? Did you not hear the Lord calling? Yeah, but that's not comfortable. Oh. Let's go read that scripture that says, Jesus said, in this world, I will guarantee your comfort. Must be the new living Bible. Don't worry. I'll never ask you. You'll never be disquieted or discomforted in any way, for I am your Savior. Can I unsee that? What I did see is he invites us to an adventure. And all I'm trying to say is that there is an edge, there is a focus, there is a call on the entire church of Jesus Christ to be the sent ones. And we realized that in the times past, God is an apostolic God. He sent his prophets, he sends his angels, he sent his word, he sent his son, he sent his spirit, and now he sends the church. God is a sending God. He is on mission, and everybody who joins him, he invites you into the mission. He calls you into the sending, the apostello. Apostello is the Greek word. Missio is the Latin word. The same thing. You're on a mission. You're on an apostolic. He is a sending God. And so we have to realize that there is a tale of two kingdoms, and there can only be one. the movie buffs. There can only be one kingdom that triumphs. There can only be one supreme ruler. But at the moment, there are two kingdoms that exist on the earth. The kingdoms of this world, the kingdom that is ruled over by the evil one. It's a kingdom that is completely, viscerally anti the kingdom of God. It fights, it resists, it rebels against everything the Holy Spirit is establishing on the earth. And so there is the one kingdom. And then there is the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. There is the kingdom of God. And God is calling us to bring his kingdom onto this earth. It is the radical mandate to replace the present world order with the government of God. There is, H.G. Wells was reading through, he came across this concept, and he was like, that's a radical concept. The radical mandate to replace the present world order with the government of God, demonstrating God's kindness and his goodness to a world that knows they don't deserve it. Notice, he didn't say, go and speak out the condemnation of God against the world. No, the devil's gospel, what the devil considers to be true, is a gospel of condemnation because the enemy experiences the condemnation of God. So if you ask the enemy, what's God like? He's very condemning. He's very angry. Doesn't give you any grace. He experiences judgment. And so the gospel of the devil is a gospel of condemnation, of wrath, of anger, of judgment. But the gospel of the Spirit of God is based off what the finished work of the cross and says there is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. And because you've been justified, you have peace with God. So there's no anger. And the wrath of God has been turned away because in Jesus, he was a complete propitiation of all your sins. That's why there was only one sacrifice once for all time, because it was a perfect sacrifice and did everything that it required to do. And Jesus ever lives. He always lives. His very existence is a constant intercession for those who believe in him. That's the gospel that we preach. So we have to stop preaching the gospel of the devil. So it's not the gospel of the enemy, it's the gospel of the kindness and the goodness of God. And we have to declare the kingdom of God. God wants to rule in your heart, in this city, in this nation, and in the nations of the world. Now, this concept of the government of God is permeated throughout Scripture. God wants to bring his government to the earth. In Isaiah 9, the great prophetic word about Jesus, it says, he'll be a wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father. And of the greatness, of the increase, the old King James says, of the greatness of his government and of peace, there will be no end. There is an ever-increasing government of the kingdom on the earth that is going to be manifested. Hebrews talks about that when Jesus had offered once for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Jesus is on the throne with an agenda. Bring me my footstool. And then we read in Revelation 11, the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven and said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. There is this contest right now between two kingdoms, and you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son when you believed. And whether you know it or not, you are commissioned with a mandate to see the kingdom come on earth. You are called to be a catalyst of the kingdom, to see God's will be done on earth. This is the prayer. This is the demonstration. Jesus sent his disciples out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and tell them, this is the kingdom of God come near you. Go out demonstrating the kingdom. That's the message we're supposed to preach. So three simple questions, and then I'm done. It's going to be a short sermon. Where do I go? Where do I go? See, this apostolic call is not for a few select leaders in the church. This apostolic call is for every single member of the church. We are on a mission. We have been commissioned and sent. We've washed in the pool of Siloam. We've understood that there is a difference in the way we are to come. We don't just come to church to get, which is fine, if it's to recharge your batteries so you can go out and do the commission. Otherwise, if you just come to get, you'll get bored after a few years. Well, I've heard that story before. Greg's preached that message before. I'll give it a 4. I think we should do better. 4.5. That's not really what it's all about, right? It's about us coming and getting trained and equipped and stirred and provoked and then going out and exercising, doing what the Lord's called us to do. There is something on your life, I have absolutely no doubt. There is a call of God on you. There is something that this world needs from you. And I guarantee, I don't care who you are, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you that the Holy Spirit is urging you internally. You know in your soul that there is something for you to accomplish in God. You know it with a certainty. And you can try and fill up that longing because a great business will go some of the way to helping you settle that longing. A great family will go some of the way. Success in just about every other endeavor will go some of the way to slaking the thirst of your soul, but it will not go all of the way, because only when you walk in all the call of God on your life will that hunger be slaked. Trust me, I know. I've tried. So where do I go, Greg? Well, you go everywhere. It doesn't really matter. It's neighbors and nations. It's in your neighborhood. It's at your work. It's in the state. It's in this nation. And it's in the world. Jesus said, when you go, go everywhere. That's his command to the church. But you will receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, we go, that's a profound, that's the great, but I want you to know, when Jesus spoke those words, he was sitting on the edge of a tiny little lake in an insignificant nation. It wasn't the great metropolis of the world. It wasn't recognized as the center of the world. It wasn't even celebrated in Israel. It was seen as the backwaters. He's a Galilean. It wasn't like, wow. It was like, ooh, that's Hicksville. And Jesus is sitting with a few guys who didn't make the grade, who weren't celebrated, who weren't the best of the best, and he's sitting there on the edge of a little lake, and he says, guys, let's go and take the world. And they can't even agree amongst each other. Well, we don't qualify, Greg. Yes, you do. He qualified you. But I don't know enough. Yes, you do. Well, I can't go. Yes, you can. Mark 16, he said to them, go into all the world. I promise you, those 12 didn't even have their passports ready. I don't think they'd ever gone further than Jerusalem in their whole life. Never left the state of Georgia. Never even left their county. Go into all the world. What? I don't like this message, Greg. Let's talk about the love of God. Let's rather just talk about how we can love one another. So much nicer. Let's love one another as we go into all the world. Are you serious? Do you think our little church can go? Yes. 25,000 roughly churches are saying, would you come next year? I've asked for more. No, I think you and Michelle just go and then come back and give us reports. No. That's not what the Lord said. If that was what the Lord said, I'd be over it. I'd be on it. But that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm giving the church time to catch up, because there is an apostolic call on the house. And we, skilled teams, are going to go. It's the call of God on us. And there are some people sitting here, I promise you, I tell you a truth, some of you sitting here, and that you know in your gut there's a yearning. You know there's a call of God. You want to be involved in some adventure that goes beyond you, that's bigger than us, that's bigger even than our nation. There's something on the inside of some of you that you know this is the call of God. And I'm telling you, the reason you're in this church is for this reason, because God put an apostolic call on us. We have washed in the pool of Siloam. We've understood, and we're ready to go. When the church first started, within the first year, Daddy Daniel came, prophesied over us. He said, this church is going to go to the nations of the world. And he said, you know why? He said, instant obedience is going to be easy for you because you're going to be so convinced of the lavish love and grace of God. That was a decade before we came into understanding of grace. He prophesied it. He says, let me tell you why. What's going to launch this going into the nations is because God is going to show you his goodness and his grace, and it's going to empower something. You're going to go to the nations with this message. You are an oasis, he said. You are an island in the sea, and thousands are going to hear from this little space. 17 years ago, that was the prophetic word. And then Leif Hetland came and says, the Lord wants to do something with this church. There's a goodness revolution coming from this church to the nations. That's old news. Tell us something new. This is the call of God on us. And what should I do? Where should I go? What shall I do? After this, the Lord appointed 72. This is what he told the 72. And he sent them, two by two ahead of him. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. And if somebody who promotes peace, that concept in the Greek and in the is a man of peace, a somebody who has authority who extends peace to you. If a man or a woman of peace, a person of peace, one inclined to peace is the literal translation, is there, your peace will rest on them, and if not, it'll return to you. That means when we go, just think about this. Jesus said, speak out a blessing. And if they're not a person who will open their hearts to the blessing, that blessing will boomerang around and hit you. That'll change the way you bless people. I just bless you with rich blessings. I hope he doesn't take it. Right? Because Jesus said, say peace to them. And if they're not a man or woman of peace, then your peace will come back on you. So bless people with what you'd like to be blessed with. Be nice, be kind, be loving, be supportive. I bless you. Boom, thank you so much. Come back on me. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. So you look for a person of peace. What do I do? Wherever you are, at work, in your neighborhood, look for a person of peace. So, well, who's the person of peace? Somebody who's receptive to the gospel. You don't have to beat somebody over the head. Jesus didn't say, tie them down and force the gospel in. He said, no, preach the gospel. And if they open their hearts to you, say, peace to you. But if they resist you, then you shake the dust. You go, okay, no, I'm sorry. No pressure. I'm going to go over here. So number one, they're receptive to the gospel. This is the definition of a person of peace. Number two, they have a reputation in their location. In other words, they have some authority. This is what Priscilla and Aquila did for Paul. They go, hey, that's great. This is what Lydia did. Remember Lydia? She was a seller of purple cloth, and she opened her heart, and she was a woman of some significance, a wealthy woman in the city. She heard Paul's message. She goes, man, that's beautiful. So she opened up her home to him. Lydia was the doorway. She was the person of peace that rocked her city. Look for a person of peace. And thirdly, somebody able to refer you. They're receptive, they have a reputation, and they're able to refer you to others. They go, hey, listen, I know he's weird and he's from Africa, but you got to come listen to him. I just want to say to all the people in the first year of Northlands who did that, thank you. Where do I go? Everywhere. What should I do? Look for a person of peace. You can preach. Say what you believe. And then somebody, when the Lord opens their heart, they go, oh, that's great. I'd like to talk some more. Okay, great. Go stay with them. Live. Eat what they give. Go, thank you. Find a person of peace. Now, let me just say, out of my personal experience, the person of peace is not always the person that I would have chosen. Sometimes the people of peace are people that just, it's like when they're with you, it's like the Lord just gives you a gift. He opens their hearts and they go, "Oh, this is wonderful. Where have you been? This is so cool." And you go, "It's wonderful. Thank you." And they open doors for you and they refer you to people and you go, "What's happening?" And we're seeing this in this last year in amazing ways. People of peace who are just going, "Yeah, come. I know, you know, we got 1,000, we got 1,500 parts." I met a guy from Namibia. Great guy. He was just a real, and he was at this thing and he goes, he's personal friends with a former president of Namibia. And he comes to me, he goes, he says, "I don't really have a lot to do with the churches. I can only speak for 1,500 pastors." I go, "Okay, okay." I said, "More than I can speak for." He goes, but would you come to Namibia?" He said, "But in the meantime," so I said, if you're leading it, I'll come." He says, "But I'll go and talk. And we'll talk to the president and we'll get some government leaders together and we can do this thing." Person of peace. What do I do? Look for a person of peace. Ask the Lord. "Lord, give me somebody." At work, you don't have to go ram the gospel down. Don't have to be weird. Be nice. Be normal. But say, "Lord, give me a person of peace. Give me somebody here in the neighborhood. Give me somebody, Lord, whose heart opens to what it is that you've given me to say." And when they do, walk through that door. I don't know where it'll go. I can't plot it all out for you. All I know is this is what Jesus told his disciples to do. Go everywhere. And what do? Go find a person of peace. And when you find them, bless them. And go through the doors that open for you. Thirdly, what must I say? Matthew 10. The 12 that Jesus sent out with the following instructions. "Don't go to the Gentiles or into any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Acts 3. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." So what do? You give what you know you have. Most of us are scared to speak because we don't have all the answers. But who did Adam's sons marry? Oh, I don't know. But let me tell you what I do know. I do know my life was a mess, and I was drawn to Jesus, and when I gave my life to him, he radically altered me in a profound, meaningful, deep, life-altering way. That's the truth about my life. I don't know all the other details. I don't know, but what I do know, let me tell you what I know. What do I say? You just say what you know. See, honestly, what do you know to be true about God? What do you know to be true about God? Because I was thinking about this a lot. Because I'm jazzed. I would love to take groups of people to those times in Africa. I'd like to go. And let's lay hands on the sick. Let's pray. Let's minister. Let's prophesy. Let's change Africa. And India. And China. Who do you think you are? I think I'm somebody who the Lord called to do this. And so are you. That's who I think we are. Well, we can't do it all. No, but we can do our part. I'd like to go with groups. I'd like to go. I'd like to take many of you. Let's go and minister. But I was thinking about that. If I gave you a microphone and 10,000 people, minister to them, what would you say? What do you have that you know? I know this is true about my God. I don't know everything, but I know this. What do you have to give? Don't tell me you don't have anything. I'm not buying. See, washing in the pool of Siloam changes the way you think. See, you go wash in the rivers of the sent one, suddenly you go, I'm being sent, what do I say? Don't give me the microphone. And then they give you the microphone. We saw this with Scotty. Scotty came, because he said, the Lord said, and so he came. And as the longer it went on, the more we realized, man, Scotty needs to talk to his people. Did really good. So please pray for Scotty. He couldn't handle African chicken. He had some bad chicken. Please pray for Scotty. It was horrible. When he got back, I think there's some of us in this room need to seriously think about the moment when you get given the microphone. What do you absolutely know is true about God? What boasts can you make about the Lord confidently? Paul said, let him who boast in the Lord. Let's make some boasts about God. Let me tell you about the kindness of my God. Let me tell you about the faithfulness of my God. Let me tell you about how much he loves you. What boasts can you make confidently about the Lord? I don't know everything, but this I know, God will never, ever leave you. I swear this to you. What can you boldly get up and state beyond a shadow of doubt? This is truth. You need to think about those things. What do I say? That's what you say. Freely you've received, now freely give that. You know what's beautiful? We don't have to have all the answers. You just have to have an absolute assurance on what God has given you. And you can break that off and give it away. We've been given time to catch up with the apostolic call on this house. This is the season we're in right now. Okay, Greg, what season are we in? Right now, we're in the season of the Lord's kind, gentle patience that we as a group of people can catch up, equip ourselves, get ready to be launched, to go to our neighbors and to the nations of the world, Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the earth and everything in between. Just before I pray, I want to play do we have the with hope springing eternal in the breasts. I think we have the prophetic
need to download with you as a church. I do believe, and this was kind of the sense that I had from the Lord, that you are going to bat above your status. You're going to, you know, you were due to play in the little leagues, but you're going to play in the pros. That kind of idea. I really felt in God that he wanted you to kind of bat above your place. There was something else that God has that he wants to unlock from this church that is not a natural thing. You'd look at the church and say, well, kind of we have an influence here because of who we are. Well, the Lord's saying, no, not because of who you are. I'm gonna allow you to have an influence here substantially above what maybe kind of you would naturally think. I think Greg and Michelle in themselves, and we've been friends for many years, as Greg said, have always batted above their place. They've always allowed their ministry and their gift has been an incredible impact into our nation, into our church, but even wider than that, into the nations of the world. And I think God's allowing you to catch up. I really do. That's what I sensed this morning. He's wanting to release something fresh in you, on all of you, to catch up into this call that he has for you as a church. It's kind of closing the gap. You're all participating in this call, all participating in this apostolic adventure that God has for you as a church. And he's allowing all of you to catch up with it. God has a large circle of influence for this church, much larger than what you would think. And he is wanting to expand that. He wants all of you to catch that and to live in it and catch up with what God is doing. You're an apostolic household. I don't know whether anybody said that. I'm sure people have said it over you, even prophetically. But you are an apostolic household as a church. And God will raise up many spiritual fathers from this house. Many spiritual fathers.
I go away for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and then... Praise God. We're in an apostolic house. There are different. There are some magnificent churches in the city. There really are. Every church has a mandate from God. God plants a lampstand for a reason, to give light, to give that specific light to that specific place. There are some phenomenal lampstands in the city. This lampstand, the call of God on this church, is neighbors and nations. We're going to reach our neighbors. We're going to have a particular brand. We're going to have particular influence, batting way above our status. That's the call of God, has been, always will be. But there is an apostolic call. There is an apostolic house. There's an apostolic release. Johnny and I was here last time. He said there's an apostolic hub that God is busy building here, and the release is going to astound you. And I think we're seeing the beginnings of that. I hope this morning that something on the inside of you has turned, settled. Come with us. Sign up. Let's go to the nations. Let's punch above our weight. It's going to influence way beyond anybody would think we're allowed to. Let's go and serve our King. Let's do it with rich abandon and great joy. Let's sign up for the adventure of a lifetime. Father, in Jesus' name, we say yes. Yes, Lord. Give us wisdom. Show us how. But Lord, we're ready to go. We commit to going. We decide we want to wash in the pool of the sent one. We want to submerge ourselves. We want to have this perspective change the way we see. We wash in the pool of Siloam. Father, I know that you see. I know you see hearts. This is my prayer, Father. In all our going, would you cause Jesus to receive all the honor and all of the praise? Would you cause his name to be adored and esteemed? Would you cause his fame? Would you cause his glory? We're zealous for the glory of our King. Would you use us, Lord, and empower us and anoint us and release us around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.